will commence in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For the week beginning March 5th, 2005, this is the Rain Report, Ham Radio's audio internet magazine. I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ. Did you know that Rain programming will be available on CD? Details soon. Last week's program about Echolink with its developer, John Taylor, K1RFD, is still online at rainreport.com and will remain so until next weekend, thanks to underwriting by CQ Publications. This is the third and final installment in our introduction to VOIP. This week, we take a brief look at IRLP, the Internet Radio Linking Project, excerpting from a 2004 Dayton Hamvention talk by IRLP's creator, Dave Cameron, VE7 LTD of Vancouver, Canada.
What IRLP is designed to do is just provide a simple and easy system to link radio systems together. That was the design of it right from the start. Many people in British Columbia were using very long RF. I am from British Columbia, by the way. I live in Vancouver. A lot of our repeaters are interlinked by mountaintop repeaters that sit at 6,000 and 7,000 feet, which for some of you from Colorado seems pretty short. But there is a window of approximately 12 days on average every year where we can go up to the top of these sites and fix antennas, fix stuff because of snow and ice pack, glaciers and such that keep it very hard to get up there. And it came to the point the hams couldn't afford to go up there anymore in helicopters and snowmobiles. And some of the commercial guys had started to pull their microwave equipment off the top of the hill, so we lost our ride up the hill. Our VHF repeater linking system basically died. The idea was to provide a link to anywhere that had an internet connection to make sure that the software and hardware was minimal, didn't need a super high-powered PC to run it, and it had to have a low startup and operation cost. Jim alluded to a article that he wrote for QST in 1996. I was sitting in my ham club. I was a registered ham since 1993. I got my license when I was 18 years old. I was reading this article and I thought, this is the coolest thing because it combines the two things in the world I love the most, computers and the internet, and my love for ham radio. I was using the iPhone and repeater link system. It was very hard to convince my club to let me do this, so I just did it anyways. Didn't tell them I was doing it, and then they thought it was really cool and they could talk to different places all around the world. Every night about 11 o'clock, the PC would freeze up, the PTT would stick on, and the repeater would be on the air all night long. And finally, I got a little tired of that, and I found the system very unreliable and insecure. And another thing I didn't like was the fact that it used voice activation, Vox. I found that even with the cool little modified RadShack circuit that I still have in my basement and my list of things that got me where I am today, let's just say that. There was also no easy way to control the link. You had to be at the PC to control it. There was some remote desktop stuff I played around with. I tried to improve on the iPhone side, and I realized that after iPhone said they were going to be dumping support for their product, I basically said, well, we're going to have to find something new. So I set out to design a system that was stable, reliable, easy to control, easy to program, easy to add features to. And so I started on a Linux platform. I hadn't even used Linux once in my whole entire life before IRLP. I was actually afraid of it. Our club used it because they were involved in a high-speed packet, a 56K packet link that we had to the internet, which was lightning fast at that time. So the sysadmin in my club said, oh, this is nothing to be afraid of. You should try this. There's an individual here. It's a friend of mine named Yahim. Delta Lima 2 Kilo Charlie Delta, and he also has the call sign Victor Echo 7 Charlie Delta Lima. At the University of British Columbia, we have a proton accelerator. This guy was a ham. He came over from Bonn to set up and use this proton accelerator. It's one of about four in the world. He joined our ham club, and he was a Linux guy, and one day I caught him talking to some friends back home using our 56K packet link using a program called Speak Freely on a Windows PC. And I asked him, I said, that's kind of a cool little voice over IP thing. You know, how does this work? And he goes, oh, it works for Linux too. And I said, oh, that's interesting. So with his help, I set out and designed a software package using Speak Freely as a voice over IP client. And it allows you to transmit live speech over the internet. Some of you may have actually used the program before, both in Linux and Windows. It's very similar to iPhone and NetMeeting and some of the other voice over IP clients. Just the thing is that it's very simple. I mean, the binary file, I think, is 120K. It doesn't require installation. It doesn't require anything. It's simple. You punch in an IP address and you talk. So that's what I used as my backbone. Then I had to design a control package so that people could use the system from their handhelds without having to be at the PC. So I built a control system based around a secret key, private key system called PGP, or Pretty Good Privacy. It's a surefire way to guarantee that the other person that you're communicating with is the person that they say they are. The only exception to that is if their key is being used, their secret key, which is secret and private only to them, is being used by someone else. It's actually the encryption that the Army has used for some years. Banks use it all the time. We use a fairly cut down version of it. We don't need international security for IRLP. Basically, all the rest was promotion. We set up a link between Vancouver and Vernon. Vernon's a little town in the Okanagan Valley, about 300 miles to the northeast of Vancouver. We set it up on a UHF repeater there, of course, without telling their club as well, and linked the two of them together. And we had a system in BC that, like I was saying, was linking from mountaintop to mountaintop. And it just happened that winter, the system went down and nobody could go up and fix it. This IRLP link became the only link between Vancouver and Vernon on 2 meters and 440. So what ended up happening was this was the hugest promotion that I could ever use, because we actually used this link as part of their network to link the two places together, which there was one hop on a mountaintop at 7,000 feet. There was a helicopter ride away that couldn't be fixed during the wintertime. From there, it just sort of grew. Actually, the first US ham, he actually makes those ARCOM controllers. AH6LE is his call sign. I remember we had about 40 Canadian nodes online. He came up to me and he said, "Is this a Canadian only thing, or can us US people join this thing?" And I hummed and I hawed for about a week. I seriously did. And I thought, well, sure, why not? And that sort of spawned a growth. At that point in, I think it was 1999 or 1998, we had 12, 13 nodes on the system. Between 99 and 2000, that grew from about 50 to about 500. And now we're sitting at just over 1,400 RF nodes today. There's a lot of misconception about what this package Echo IRLP is all about. I don't want to cause any controversy by any means. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what it is and what it's not. Leave it at that. What Echo IRLP is it's a Linux IRLP computer running a Linux version of Echolink. That's all it is. It's sort of like you can run Microsoft Office on your PC, or you can run Corel Office Suite. It's two different ways that people on a Linux IRLP computer can access the Echolink system as an RF node, not as a PC node, but as an RF node. It's a way that an IRLP computer and interface can act as both an IRLP and an Echolink node. And it's a way to allow people who are running IRLP to access the Echolink network. That's pretty much what it is. Here's a couple of what it's not. It is not a way to cross-link the two systems. A system that's running Echo IRLP is exclusive one or the other. It's mutually exclusive, so when one is operating, the other is disabled. It is not a way for the Echolink nodes to dial up the IRLP system, and it is not IRLP connecting to Echolink. I'm just going to talk quickly a bit about what I see the future. I anticipate that both IRLP and Echolink will continue to grow at, I don't think, as fast a rate as it has in the past 2 or 3 years, because I think we've not saturated, but I think there's a lot of the people that are interested in technology are either into it or have been into it. I think there's probably about, 185 people or so that are using Echo IRLP right now, or at least have tried it. Within the next year, I think that number is probably going to grow up to around 800 or 900, which will open up a lot more to the Echolink network. One thing that the IRLP interface board can do is it can act as a single port link controller for a standalone VHF or UHF repeater. I'm getting a lot more requests. There's been some more development in that software. We're having a lot more requests for private systems that want to link from California to Washington, don't want to be part of the whole world so everybody can talk to them. I think we're going to see some more of those. And I think there's also going to be a lot more commercial interest in the product as soon as people start realizing what we're doing. And it's going to spawn a couple of knockoffs. I've actually already seen one out there in the market right now.
Dave Cameron, VE7 LTD, the man behind IRLP, the Internet Radio Linking Project, excerpted from Cameron's 2004 Dayton Hamvention presentation. We hope you found this multi-part series on Voice over Internet Protocol useful. The RAIN Report is copyright 2005 RAIN, all rights reserved. Now for RAIN's founder-producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ, for RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network.